Thank you so much, BBS Radio, for making this possible for us. It is Wednesday, October the 12th, 2016. My name is Gijs Minderhout. I'm located in Magalia, California. We will have our show host, Winfrey, show up here shortly. He is located in Sedona, Arizona. And this is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. At this point, everybody is coming in very slowly today because I know that only that Edna is here. Hello, Edna. Thank you for being here. You might be muted. Have we had two more lines join in? Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Hi, this is Cleo from Connecticut.
Hello, Cleo. Well, good evening to you and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Lena from Sedona.
Hi, Lena. Welcome back. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Just great. Thank you. All right. The announcement email has been received a few minutes ago. There is no question for tonight revealed yet on that email. I just wish you a happy Wednesday, though. And I'm submitting a question myself tonight. Hope we'll get to it.
So did you say it's no question for tonight? I send my question.
No, I know there are real questions. There's no question in the announcement email.
Oh, gotcha. I think you decided on a topic for tonight.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, Rick in Iowa City.
Good evening, Rick. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Okay. I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. I welcome you all on BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. We cannot hear you or see you, but we are glad that you are participating with us. I see the helicopter up there. When we'll be here shortly. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Who, me?
Yes, you, Mr. Dharmananda.
That's me.
Welcome to the call. How are you?
Pretty good, you?
All right, doing fine, thank you.
Are you on BBS now?
We are, yes. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Bob from Chico.
Hello, Bob. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, sir.
Bonnie in Corona.
Good evening to you, Bonnie. Welcome.
Hi,
Roger in Austin.
Good evening, Roger. Welcome to the call.
Hi, everybody.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Welcome, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
All right. Welcome to the gathering. Please say your name and location.
It is Wynn.
Wynn, welcome to the call.
Wherever I am.
And somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location. If you want to. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. I hear Terry. Can barely hear you, but I did recognize your voice. Thank you for being here, Terry.
Okay.
Terry, what headset are you using?
The normal.
Is it down in front of your mouth?
Yeah. Is that
better? That's much better. What did you do?
Don't say it. All right. Good evening to you all. Welcome to the call. This is the last chance to announce yourself. Please go ahead. Silence is golden. Welcome to the call to you all. I'm going to turn the things off. All right, 6:03, we are live on BBS. Thank you to all those folks that are participating with this call through BBS Radio. Wynn and Terry are here. Thank you so much for doing this, Wynn and Terry. It's a blessing to us. The mic to you, Wynn.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is October 12th, 2016. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And tonight, we're going to ask questions for people that you guys have turned in. So thank you. Thanks to all of you who have turned in questions. And just a brief comment. You know, our Monday call was pretty controversial. If you haven't listened to it, I suggest you do. But I will tell you, you know, it took me a long time to say, do I want to call like that, okay? And the answer is yes. I have to do those calls in this time. You know, if you read the subject line for the Monday call, it was, what was it? It was, I can't remember. But I have done an enormous amount of research on this, and I've been putting together an email because so many of you who are looking at this election are not seeing it, and I say this as an absolute. I know this is true. You're not seeing it from the most expanded point of view. It's like you're drawing conclusions based on people's personalities, their smiles, their charisma, their stupid kind of falling over themselves, making their comments. And I don't think you realize what's at stake here. This is, goes far beyond politics, and it goes far beyond my opinion. And, you know I've gotten some comments from people that say, don't talk about this. Just talk about the Elohim and the angels. And someone else said, Trump is a womanizer, or Trump is, obviously he is. I'm not going to take that away from him. Okay? It's just that the line of evidence, it's real evidence about all the things that Hillary has done, Hillary and her husband, in the last 25 years, I guess it's been, it's way beyond politics, way beyond it. And it's like I'm just compiling it all, things that are, which to me make the presentation in a credible sense. You know, some people have told me, well, you can find anything on the internet if you look for it. And you can. But you can't find anything on the news. How do you know what's going on if you're just depending on watching television or reading newspapers or magazines? By and large, it's totally controlled. At least on the internet, you can find anything. And then you have to use your own discernment as to what you find, which I do. And I hope you do. And I hope you'll take the time to look through the links I'm going to send out tomorrow, because this is our country, this is our lives, and we live in a matrix that's projected out it won't say any more than that, but it's a controlled matrix. And a lot of times people think that they're thinking freely, and they're still thinking from within the context of the matrix. And it's not easy to bust that context. I understand this. I have done that. Even when we're talking to the Elohim, many of you know how much work I have done trying to make sure that it was legitimate, that it's something I wanted to talk about, that it was positive, that there were no compromising circumstances. And I tell you over and over again, don't believe it because I say it. You know, read it, study it, have it make sense. Ask questions on Wednesday. We put this out for you. We put it out for you. And in the context of doing this work, I learned more about the negative than I wished I had learned. I learned that I was under attack. Daphne was under attack. Carla was under attack. And, you know, that there were forces that didn't want us to do this work, and we're still doing it. And there's no compromise to it. There's no one that we owe to, no one that gives us money. We work hard to have enough money to be able to do it. And I know it's a contribution to this realm, but it has to contribute to you. So you have to take advantage, at least, of what we offer. And you're showing up here on Wednesdays. You're showing up on our calls. And many of you are on the same page as myself. And I have to say Terry's on the same page because we investigate things together. And you don't have to be on the same page. You could have a point of contention on this area, and that's okay. But my suggestion for your own self, just take advantage of all the research I've done and be open-minded. Just be open-minded. Don't approach it with a fixed perspective. You know, a huge amount of people in this realm can't access something new because they approach it with a perspective that's fixed. And no one meets those people more than I do, because what we are putting into this realm, our work, if you have a fixed matrix, a fixed position, you'll miss it, because what we're doing can't be real. Now, Terry, Terry, what are you doing? Yeah. You're making all this noise.
Sorry.
All right.
I'm going on mute.
May I share in the meantime that Monday's call was announced with E.T.'s New World Order and Hillary.
Okay, thank you for looking it up. Okay. Father, I got a lot of people that said it was a good call. I have at least one person said they started doing some of, you know, I suggested people do searches on YouTube and the internet on some of these topics. And this one person said, okay, I'm convinced, I changed my mind, and I'm going to, like, send some particular links out tomorrow so that I believe each of these, I may be wrong, if someone wants to tell me I'm wrong, please tell me, but each of these internet links goes to somewhere where there is solid substantiation for the point being made. That's important. I mean, anybody can say anything, and can you substantiate it? And, you know, if I don't see substantiation, I'm not going to believe it, okay? But there's the substantiation for all the stuff is absolutely overwhelming. That does not make Trump perfect. He certainly is not. But I do give him one bit of credit, that he is single-handedly standing up against a system which is so corrupted, so controlling, so dishonest. Now, does that mean he's been honest in every of his transactions in the past? He probably hasn't. Does that mean he hasn't been a womanizer? He probably has. Does that mean every attitude of his has to be perfect? But he is standing up. And I do believe he's standing up. And he, as far as I'm concerned, is risking his life to do this. Because that system kills people all the time that stand up and are a threat to them. I think so. Now, you know, the only question I've had is, will he yield to the system once he's in a position? Once they might threaten to kill his family or him if he doesn't do their bidding. You know, I've watched this happen with other people in politics where they looked really good. Obama looked really good when he was coming in. And it's like the decisions he's made during his term, I think he's been had to make them. I think he had to, or he would have been killed. So in any case, that's all I'm going to say on that, okay? And
yep, move your mic away from you, please.
Okay, is that better? Is that better now?
Yep, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Harris. So, we have questions today. Let me see if there's any last-minute questions. Terry has been not feeling well. She's had a cough, and she was having, feeling out of balance for the past couple of days. So we're going to play this a little bit by ear. And if Terry tells me we should cut it short, then I will have to do that, okay?
Can we first send some love light to Terry, her healing?
Yeah, we will, okay? Is that okay, Terry? Terry, are you there?
Yeah, that's good.
All right, okay. Hi, let's just see Terry. I want all of you to send loving energy to Terry. Surround her in this energy. Feel the gratitude for the great contribution and sacrifice she makes to do this work and to be constantly dedicated and constantly highly intended. And we are so blessed and lucky to have her on our side. And we just like to see anything in her body that's out of balance be corrected, fixed, and any miracles, we'll accept miracles. And while we're in this zone, let's send the light around our planet, around this election, into all the earthquake zones and ask for earthquakes that if they have to happen away from population centers and minor releases. Let's send the light to the election for the highest good. Let's send the light to no nuclear weapons going off in this realm for the highest good. And we thank our sources, our two group souls, for working with us, for trusting us, and answering our questions. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry, myself, and each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us on this line, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those forces that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We flood Terry with love light and thank her for her work with situations that are less than perfect, and sometimes she takes on the karma of a situation. And we see that she is attempting to balance so much, and we bring love light, and that these things can be given balance, and we thank each and every person that is on the call, listens to the calls, and is, we see your good heart, and we see how you are working also for friends and family and yourself for balance and growth, and we deeply appreciate you. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First question is from Bonnie in Corona, and she asks, three questions, all around the same topic. The topic is what she calls spiritual contracts. You know what? All contracts may not be spiritual, but you can still make contracts in other lifetimes or on the other side. That are, end up feeling binding. So let me ask the first question, rephrase it, if you don't mind, Bonnie, and say, could you explain the nature of contracts that we have before we embody both spiritual and non-spiritual, and explain the circumstances for both. And
contracts have, I'll put this in, then you can continue the question. Contracts go with belief systems. They go with unfinished projects, unfinished things one wishes to accomplish. Contracts are something unfinished that, or a new undertaking that one wishes to have come out a certain way and complete, and have, according to their belief systems, have put forth to help resolve.
So could we say that a contract is just based on a belief system, and as soon as you dissolve the belief system, you dissolve the contract?
It is broader than belief systems in that it attacks the environment of the contract, the environment one wishes to attain to. And so it is bigger than one's own belief system. And often in the fulfilling of a contract, one will take on more knowledge and understand more about what they are promoting. And it isn't just the individual's belief system. It is how the belief system interacts with the environment. If it interacts in a way to make the environment better, then it can have leverage and can change things. It is not merely the belief system of the individual, but the conjunction of the belief system of the individual with his surroundings.
Now, I know somebody that had a relationship, and they told that person, they told each other that they would be with each other forever, for eternity. And then when the person died, they hung out in the person's space to be with them for eternity. That's a kind of contract, an agreement that they made, and yet perhaps it wasn't necessarily for the highest good to have that agreement there.
It is part of the growth process. So the individual hangs out after their death with the person that they are pledged to, but the person they are pledged to cannot see them, cannot hear them, does not know that they are there. So this is very frustrating for the committed person because they see they are there still committed and they aren't any longer seen or heard. So it begins to play out in a different way. So because of the pledge, then as the person moves, the live person moves through his life, then he is taking on the things that he sees necessary for his life without considering the partner that he has committed to or knowing that the partner is still there. So the partner who has departed to the other side but is still standing by the husband then begins to find other ways eventually to be with that party. They might come back as his child. They might hang out and wait until another lifetime for the husband and then connect in some way that they see they can to be together with that party again. So the husband made the contract, but the husband thinks it's over. I mean, still loves the wife, but the wife is gone. And does not any longer consider that is part of his life, although he still dearly loves her. And as time progresses, the wife, who is in a state of frustration at not being seen or heard when she is there, finds other ways to connect and to be committed to the contract. Eventually, after a number of lifetimes, the wife may find a different option than to honor a contract that is so frustrating and not kept by the other party or even known that is there to be kept any longer.
You know, the next question from Bonnie has to do, can this, and I say this kind of agreement, and I use that as an example, and I think it's a good example. And the question is, can this kind of agreement be revoked in any way? Does it take both parties to revoke it, or can one party revoke it and change it for themselves, regardless of the other party?
It can be revoked by one party only. And in this situation, it is as if it was revoked by the husband. The wife remains committed, but she has passed on. So the husband doesn't see her, hear her, know that she's around. So he thinks the commitment is over. And he still honors it by loving her, but he is not in touch with her. Communication does not know how to commit, and he has his needs. And so he goes elsewhere to fill his needs. So it is part of the growth process that when someone is making a commitment, it is a beautiful thing to make such a commitment, but that they modify it so that there is some freedom to not keep the husband, say, in jail, honoring something that no longer he is able to fill his needs with, for companionship, for love, and it is a lesson in reality and how to revise one's commitments or even make one's commitments so that they will take into account everyday changes. Now, in the overall look at things, these two people will find each other again in other circumstances, and their love will come back. So there is this. However, there's a great time void in between, creating frustration for both parties. But the love contract can continue, and hundreds of years later, they can come together and again experience their love relationship. It is like a strand, a vibrational strand that each has that connects the two of them. And they can find each other again, but they may go through intense frustration and forgetting. And when they do come back together, they may not even remember the first time.
Thank you. This question, this is from Rebecca in Cottonwood. Bonnie, your second part of your question, I think I'm not asking it because I'm not sure what you mean by unconscious contracts. Maybe I do. But ask it again next week if it's important, okay? And Rebecca has a very unusual request here. And she says, you know, there's a background with Rebecca in some of her previous questions where she feels very stuck in her life. And she goes around in circles, and she's looking for a reason. I'm saying this in my own words, so I hope I'm getting it correct. but she's looking for a reason to be, a reason for her life, to have value. And she's stuck. And she asks, if, will you change my neural paths and reset my DNA for me? And I think the Elohim, or the group souls, can help do that. But a person has to, it's like the riding the bicycle image, the person has to set a track for new energy coming in. So, I'd like to add to her question, and I think she would go along with it, is what do I have to do in my conscious self to allow the shift in my DNA to occur? I hope that's okay to rephrase that, but if our source wants to just ask the question as you put it forth, then of course they can do that. Will you change my neural paths and reset my DNA for me? But it seems to me that they would be taking your own power away. If you start the track, they can help it. But if you ask them, make me jump from here to there and change me, you haven't created the appropriate slope for change to occur. You need to make some kind of motion that they can work on top of that motion. That's what I think. But let's see what they say. Thank you.
Thank you. That is correct. The change starts with you personally to begin to do nice things for yourself. Begin to love yourself. Begin to send yourself thanks. Take a look at the things in your life that you have done right and well, which there are many, and begin to take credit for that. This will begin to change the frequencies within your own DNA, and you will begin to love yourself more. And then, once you love yourself more, then you can find a relationship of mutual love and care and giving. As you ask the question, there is something missing in your life. And take a look and see if it is companionship and caring and love that could raise your vibratory rate and begin to nurture you, first of all, starting with your own self, which will begin to start to change your own vibrational foundation. And then to add a partner that is co-nurturing with you and can begin to increase your joy in being here.
So there's a potential for that partner, but she has to create the environment to bring that partner in.
Yes. Know that she is worth the love, and that by taking a look at these wonderful things she has done, the little things in teaching, in raising the boys, in little things that she has done, that she has been proud of, to begin to resonate that. And then through the resonation, attract someone that can co-resonate with her and create a strong bond. And a give and take, reasons to be here and experience joy.
And if she does that, that will very likely change her neuropaths and reset her DNA, which was our question.
That's correct.
So the key to changing your neuropaths and resetting your DNA is, maybe it's not the only way, but it's through having a relationship that's co-creative of shared energy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And loving oneself.
And loving yourself.
Yes.
And
to set those new neural pathways into action.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. David Wilkes in Livermore. You know what? We have three people in Livermore that are coming into our calls. I wonder if they know each other. Probably don't, but they might be nice if they did.
Yes.
He says, thank you for having this platform. I have been listening, and I have a question on the Nibiru planetary system that is supposedly approaching our solar system. As I am not an astronomer or a scientist, and I rely on my heart and what feels to be truth. Now, just for those of you who are not aware, there's a planet called Nibiru that has a kind of erratic orbit around the sun, as I recall. Some people say Nibiru is a planet that the Anunnaki live on, and that when it comes near to the Earth, it creates disasters, okay? Not that we need a planet to create disasters. We're doing a good job ourselves. But this is talked about. Some people are preparing for disasters. And is there, David asks, is this just another false flag to cover up events that are being done in the darkness? And is there any truth to some existence that is waiting regarding post-flyby conditions of some of them? Some of them being the Andromeda Council, the Council of Worlds, or the Blue Alien Sphere Alliance. In other words, okay, just to clarify his question, he's talking about Nibiru is going to go by, and that people are saying it's going to create a lot of upset on the planet. And then he's bringing up various ET groups that people refer to, the Andromeda Council, the Council of Worlds, and the Blue Alien Sphere Alliance, that are supposed to help us after that happens. Now, I know the Blue Alien Sphere Alliance is something that is they're talking about between David Wilcock and Corey Good, and I haven't gotten my own confirmation that that's legitimate, particularly when David is tied, as far as I recall, the Blue Alien Sphere Alliance into the Ra Group. And it's not in any which way that how the Ra Group would describe themselves. Although there have been indications that the Ra Group, one time I had a blue orb on my elbow come out in the picture, and when I asked about it, they said it was the Ra Group, and the Ra Group does have the color blue. So, Blue Alien Sphere Alliance, maybe that relates to that. I don't know. But let me just turn it over to our sources and see how they deal with it.
Thank you. As we look, we see that there is a planet, Nibiru. However, it is in and more of a higher frequency within its own sphere. So we see that it does come to the solar system around every 3,000 years, and that it may or may not create problems for Earth. We see.
Can I insert here the question? What is the connection, if any, between the Anunnaki and this planet?
It is a manufactured planet, which the Anunnaki undertook to travel in. It was manufactured in an area of Sirius, and the Anunnaki do occupy Nehru. And it is within the solar system at this time. However, it may not create that much destruction. It is unknown the effect, the total effect of it.
Another question, if you don't mind, I want to insert. The Anunnaki, as we have learned, has kind of a negative side to it and a positive side. If we go by the Enki and Enlil aspects of the Anunnaki, are the beings of the Anunnaki beings on Nibiru one side or the other, or are they both?
Negative beings from that you speak of from Nehru have left Nehru and only go back sporadically, and they have and are attempting to spread their influence over wider areas. They would like to control some of the areas of Earth and the affairs of Earth and consider somewhat of an ownership over Earth because of their past in the development of Earth, being some of them for, some of them against. They do go back and visit to Nibiru, but they don't generally stay there.
Do the positive aspects and the negative aspects of the Anunnaki, are they able to cooperate with each other? Are they in total antipathy?
There is some connection because of the genetics, where they feel connected to each other, and that is part of their problem. They feel each side feels the need to twist and warp the other side into their own view. Because it is a family feud in some degree.
Mm-hmm. So I see Valerie and David must know each other because she's also in Livermore, and she asked a similar question. What's happening in space right now with this planetary system coming into our solar system? Are we being protected by some galactic sources? Well, you were mentioning that it could or could not have a negative effect or a negative impact. What are the variables that would cause it one way or the other, and are there positively disposed beings that are looking out for the interests of our planet?
There are positively disposed beings. On Nibiru itself, that are seeking to minimize any destruction, and they are very strong. But then there are others, and well, who look at it as something that was forbidden to be developed was the Earth population. He was not in favor of it being developed, and he still has that as a core belief. So there are these two factions for the Earth population and against. So even on Nibiru itself, there are some factors that are seeking to protect the Earth civilization.
Mm-hmm. And David asks about other outside influences, which, you know, I'm skeptical about. The Andromeda Council, Council of Worlds, I don't know what that is. And
Council
the Blue Worlds, I don't know what reference that. And the Blue Alien Sphere Alliance, which comes from Wilcock and Good. And
has a basis passed in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
As shown on some of the murals on the pyramids.
Of those bird beings, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, at one point we asked a question about them, and it indicated that, as I recall, they have their own agenda. They're not necessarily existing to protect humans, but they have their own agenda, and that they may do some protection.
Each faction has their own agenda, which is needy because of their necessity for survival, and that comes before protection of Earth and protection of something else beside their own group and their own agenda. Although there are benevolent ones that seek after the survival of their own self to protect the Earth population.
Thank you. All right. Well, let's go to the next question. And, well, let me ask one more question. How does, for these groups that might be protecting Earth or make some contribution, how does that impact them and their own survival in a positive way, if it does?
There are areas where there is intergalactic trade, and some of them wish to have disclosure and put Earth on the map. However, they are very chary of Earth because of their warlike disposition, and therefore they stay at an arm's length and do not wish them to be a part of the larger group because they are afraid that it may upset their own balance in their own trade and their own life. They're chary or leery of Earth because of the warlike factions.
Thank you. Michael Kirsten asked a question, kind of an interesting question. And it's probably not a simple answer. It's probably, the answer is going to probably be you name it, and it's there. You know, when you look at Earth, you realize the complexities of all the groups, the subgroups, the different governments, the different social structures, and that's on planet Earth. And we think of the other side, and sometimes we think of it as must be simple, but it's, I don't believe it's simple. I believe it's hugely complex, and probably every kind of possibility exists. And you'd have to specify which dimension is the very highest dimensions. Maybe the answer gets more simple. But I'll just leave the question as it is. And this will be our last question for the night. Edna, you had a great question. I'm really curious as to the answer. But ask it again next week, okay? What forms of government, and hi, it's the same thing. Ask it again. What forms of government or organization, if any, are employed in the higher dimensions?
Thank you. There is a trade federation that monitors trade between planets. And then there is a governing faction that when a planet gets out of line, when the government of a planet gets out of line, then there is a series of actions that may be taken. One of them is to ban them from trade until they can get it together. Another one is if the planet is totally out of line to even take military action against that planet if they are exceeding their boundaries and affecting another stellar body. There is a series of councils that give advice and recommendations. There is military force that can use flying saucers to move in and can covertly monitor and recommend and even carry out actions. If a planetary section of people is out of line, there are warlike factions, such as the reptilians, that come in and they make their own civilization and monitor it in accordance with their beliefs. For instance, the belief that one needs to be brave and not fear death. They have their own belief systems. They generally stick to their own kind and their own territory. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Dharmananda, also ask your question again, and Kylene, send me your city. You have a personal question, and they request that you give your city and a location so they can find you, okay? And on that note, Terry, thank you so much for being so good tonight. Even though you aren't feeling well, but you're feeling better now. It feels good.
Well, when when they come in, it's like I start feeling so much better.
Oh, by the way, that question on governments and organizations in higher dimensions was actually from Don Herman. It doesn't make any difference because Michael Kirsten had another question. I'm sorry, Michael. So now, I didn't get your question in there. I'll put it in there now. Ask it again next week. But you know what? If you want a better answer, you have to say the name of the person, give them their relationship to you, because he's asking about someone that passed. And sometimes they can tune into the person and give you some information about it. Sometimes they can help the person on the other side just because you made the request. But you need to, and then sometimes they say right now we're going through stuff and it's not a good time to contact them. So be more specific for that particular question, okay? And I'm going to, let's see how I do this. Let's unmute everybody. All right. Hi, if you want to unmute people.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you so much. I love you guys.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Feel better, Carrie. Thank you.
Thank you.